Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
You are listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. I'm your host, Gary. We're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. Tonight, for y'all who are new here, Revolutionary Life talks about the things that affect our lives every day, all day, except we address these issues from a revolutionary point of view. All right. And revolution is just change, baby. It's just change. And there's a lot of things out here need changing. Tonight, the revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of change. Change is inevitable. We just don't want to get left behind. In fact, if you're on the front of change as it goes down, you might have something to say about how it's shaped when it goes down. If you're on the ass end of change, you probably won't have much to say about anything. So we do try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. Today, guys, or tonight, we're going to be our topic tonight is sex, sexuality, and intimacy. Sex, sexuality, and intimacy. Three different words, baby. But three different, very different, sometimes, meanings. All right? So tonight, guys, as we delve into sex and sexuality and intimacy tonight, I want you to keep in mind as we go through this that this is a call-in show. I dedicate a whole half of this show for my listeners, for their questions, comments, and concerns. And at a certain point within our presentation, I will announce our called-in section. I will open up my chat room, and I'll be giving out my phone number. It will be your time to shine. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, during our call-in section, the lines will be open for you. I call it out your time to shine. I will announce that time in just a moment, guys. But right now, let's present this material, and then you tell me, and then you can respond through my chat or by calling in. Tonight, on Revolutionary Life, we're taking a revolutionary look and one of the driving forces in our society, as well as in nature. And that is sex. That is sex. There is just no doubt about it. It is a driving force in our society. And the interesting thing about it, guys, and the reason we're talking about, one of the reasons we're talking about it tonight, is there's always, there seems to be in our society, an always changing look or approach to sex, sexuality, intimacy, and that kind of thing. All right? Shit changed. Things change. In religious circles, they've changed. I just thought about, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I wanted to point out some places where in religious circles, sex has changed from what it used to be, or what was allowed sexually, and what is not. But I'll get to the religious institutions. But every institution in our society, every institution in our society, all the institutions in our society are affected in one way or another, if not their very foundation, is built around sex and sexuality. Yes, it is. We'll get into that. But these things are changing. Are we changing with them? Take a look. For one, as you experience or learn about sex as an individual, and I'm thinking about my own childhood because everybody had a different childhood, I'm sure. But as I think of my own childhood as a young man, a young boy, learning about sex, did not come to me in a sex education class. Hang on. I did attend a sex education class as a kid in school. Yeah, we had an actual class in school. I don't know how many of you remember that, and I don't know if it still exists. I haven't been to a public school in a while. But we had a sex education class. Now, in that sex education class, I learned about sexually transmitted diseases more than anything else. That's what I remember about that class. They showed a great deal of pictures and stuff about of diseases and diseases, pictures of diseases, terrible pictures and stuff like that, of diseases that you can get from sex. Having sex. That's all I really remembered from that class now, as I think about it. They talked to us about getting sexually transmitted diseases. That was most of the class. And it was part of our gym class, I think it was, something like that. Anyway, that's no sex education. That is not a sex education. Oh, I can tell you this, whether you believe it's not or not, I can tell you this. It was not an education that prepared me for dealing with my sexuality. It was not whatever they was teaching in there. And I told you, all I remember is the sexual diseases that they talked about. But it did not prepare me for my sexual life. As a young man, prepubescent at the time, I think. No, it was postpubescent. It was like junior high school, something like that. So, however, it's not funny, I guess, but I learned about sex. My sex education did not come. You know, you ever heard these stories or these anybody say anything about how their father or mother sit them down and told them all about the birds and the bees? Back in my day, guys, if you wanted to refer to sex out loud, you talk about sex education out loud. You talk about how learning about all about the birds and the bees. Now, why it's called learning about the birds and the bees, I don't know, guys. Again, this does not prepare me for my sexual life. Teaching me about the birds or bees, I didn't get that lesson anyway. So if any of y'all got sat down at a certain age and told all about the birds and the bees, I missed that. My parents did not sit me down one day and break down and explain to me all about the birds and the bees. They didn't. I didn't have that moment. And if you did, more power to you. Maybe you were more prepared than I was. I wasn't prepared for my sexual drive at all by anyone, except the streets. Gosh, That's where I learned about sex. Not in the home. Not in school. Not in some objective place. Not in some place that cared that I knew all about sexuality and sex. No, no, no. I learned about sex mostly outside my home. From people who didn't really, who weren't trying to really school or educate me about that whole concept of sexuality and sex and intimacy and the like. When I was a kid, I saw sexual drawings in the school bathroom, on the wall, in the public restrooms, on the stalls. That's where I saw sexual organs and sexual slogans, sexual sayings and drawings and things like that. Yeah. Yeah, that was my first little kid. As a kid, I'd go to the park, and when I went to use the bathroom in the park, I would see sexual drawings in the boys' bathroom. And even in school sometimes, I think they would always clean them up afterward, but somebody would put sexual drawings in the stalls, on the walls of the stalls and the toilets. That's how I got exposed to sex, initially. That's my sex education. The rest came from word of mouth. I used to be able, when I went to school, I would come home from school and I'd go out to play. I had to get out of my school clothes. But I ended up going down on the corner. Down on the corner. Where everybody hung out at. The young guys, the older guys. There was a burger place. There was a grocery store. There was a barber shop. And everybody hung out in this little strip mall and little and corner place, you know, on the corner, right? And so I go down there and I meet other school friends and others down there, and everybody's talking about everything. But I would have this, I would see older guys, older than I was, talking about sex. Yeah. And sometimes if I went over to talk to hear what they were saying, they would run me away. And then, you don't know nothing about this. This, you don't know nothing about this. You never had your thing in anything nastier than your drawers. Get out of here. And so I hadn't had sex. So I couldn't contribute to the conversation for sure. But I wanted to be over there where the conversation was, because this is where the grown up, this is what night we were grown ups. But this is where the older guys were. And they knew shit, it seems, that I didn't. They knew a lot of things that I didn't, as a matter of fact, as a young kid. But I wanted to hang out. I wanted to find out about all this stuff. I'm curious. I'm a young boy, right? And they over there talking about girls and sex. And I can't even get into conversation. If I go over there and they'll tell me, you don't even know nothing about this. And they'll be talking on, we're talking way over your head. You ain't got no business in this conversation. And so that would make me feel bad because I hadn't had sex, so I couldn't really contribute to the conversation, but I really wanted to hear what they were saying. My education included porn, Playboy magazines, that kind of thing. And you couldn't buy them as a young kid. So you found an old beat up one or something, some beat up, torn up, old, you know, some old magazine, old sex magazine. And if one kid got his hands on one, he called all of us over. And then we all go over and go through this book. Wow, woo, you know, looking through looking through Playboy. Now, Playboy didn't show many. Yeah, it did. There was some sexual cartoons going on where actual sex is going on. But mostly it was sexy women, naked women, that kind of thing. And for the most part, they were white women and we were black, but it didn't matter. We was what? It was sexual to us, right? Period. And so we are going through Playboy and sneaking and hiding going through Playboy. And you take turns. Well, it looked like we took turns keeping the book. Somebody would keep the book. Somebody would bring the book and that kind of thing. But we sit around with nothing to do when school was out and that kind of thing. We was trying to have girlfriends. I mean, in high school, for instance, when by the time I got to high school, I mean, when I was in junior high and elementary school, I wasn't chasing girls. I understood that that was something you older guys did for sure. They were chasing girls. And I could chase, there was girls our age around and we played with and fought with and all kinds of shit. But we didn't see them as sexual objects, right? Until we started to get a little older. And even if we were playing hide go seek or something and we caught up with a girl or something, she was our somebody we wanted, we were interested in or whatever, we still didn't know how to have sex. We hadn't had any sex. So we learned to touch girls and stuff like that and get slapped and all that good shit. Anyway, so it was fun. Harassing girls was fun as a young kid. You chased them, you messed with them. If the one you like, really, you give them a hard time some kind of way, and it was all fun. And they come after you, and you didn't fight them. You ran. You didn't want to fight them. You were just having fun. And so if you touched them wrong or something like that, they come after you, and you run, and it was all big laughs and everything, right, for us, for the boys. The girls didn't seem to like it, most of them. I wouldn't say all of them. And so as we got older, of course, and certain of us actually got girlfriends that we went out with and all that kind of stuff, to the envy of the rest of us who didn't have a girlfriend time to go out with. Well, when we had sex with that, if one of our buddies who had a girlfriend at school and they actually had, or you met a girl or something, you actually had sex, that sexual encounter as a young kid in a gang, in a group, that sexual encounter wasn't over. No. It wasn't over until you got back to the crowd, to the boys, and told them all about it. Everybody was ready. Everybody, did you have sex with that? Yeah. So boom. So you, if you had sex, when you came back and told about it, that's when it was over, really. And so you couldn't wait to talk about it because, number one, again, you wanted to be like the big boys. And they were over there talking about what they did last night and what they, in the different positions and all this stuff. And you hadn't had sex at all. And so if you wanted to hang out with the big boys, you had to have sex. You had to go have sex where you could talk about it. And then some people wouldn't even believe you even when you said you did. You know, so it was like a badge of honor or something, you know, among the older guys. And so in among each other, really. And so if you had a girl friend, you took a girl out or something, and you literally had sex with her. Maybe you didn't actually have sex with her. Maybe you touched her and everything. Even that was sex for us. And so you'd come back and you'd tell somebody about it. especially your boys, on what you touched and how you touched it and all that good shit. So that's how, that's sex education in my community. People I went to school with, lived around, went to church with. That was sex, and that was my sex education. I didn't have responsible adults, teachers, preachers, parents. I didn't have what's supposed to be responsible adults sit me down at puberty when I was waking up in the morning with a hard on, and I didn't know why, because I wasn't dreaming about anything. And I'd be embarrassed. My mom would come into the room and I'd have to turn over and be embarrassed because I didn't know why I was erect. That was crazy as a young kid. And anyway, so as I'm going into puberty, guys, I'm not getting any real sex education, not the whole picture. Between the writings on the drawings on the bathroom walls, between the magazine that we could get our hands on, because we couldn't, they wouldn't sell it to us because we were too small to go buy, we were too young to buy them. And listening to the older guys talk about it. And then as we got old enough and one or two of us actually experienced some sexual thing, we came back and told each other about it. And so for me, there was the beginning of sex education. Now, what they left out, guys, what was left out of this entire picture was pregnancy. Hello. Sex was disconnected from babies. Your drawings on the wall, the magazines, the guys on the corner. Sex was separated completely in my sexual education and that means of sexual education that I received, the bathroom walls and the like, did not include pregnancy. It did not include birth, babies, children. Interesting, isn't it? Because in nature, in the natural world, they have sex. If you lived on a farm, many of you may not have. You don't have to live on a farm. You could be in the city, really. Before they began spading and neutering cats and dogs, then you could actually see animals having sex. You could actually see animals having sex on a farm. Horses, cows, chickens, pigs. You could, in the city, you could see cats, you could see dogs riding each other, climbing up on each other and all that. And so before they start doing the big spade and neutering drives, right? Today, and let's call it porno or porn, today has no connect. You can watch porn all day long if you want, and you will see a whole lot of sexual activity, but you won't see a pregnancy. You won't see a birth. In nature, you can't disconnect the two, mentally or physically. They're not disconnected. In fact, it's interesting, guys, that in nature, sex is carried on vigorously, except, very interesting, the female decides, right, as she do in society too, really, the female decides when she's ready for sex. And generally, it was cyclical. It was as cyclical as a woman's period, a woman's menstrual period. is cyclical. Well, sure enough, in nature, sex is cyclical. Or we call it being in heat, animals in heat. In musk is another name they use in the animal world for a specific time of year, it seemed, where females and where animals actually had sex. And interesting enough, they didn't have sex before that time, and they didn't have sex after that time. But during that time, they had sex. Wow, it was crazy. They would fight, you know, you'll see deer bumping heads for a chance to mate. You know, so mating season. There's a mating season in nature. Did you know that? Sure, you heard that. That is a season. There is a time. Hello. There is a time for sex in nature, naturally. Trees, plants pollinate at a certain time. Right? Certain time of year. Let's say springtime. Springtime comes, fertility rites are carried out in nature. The women, the females, become an estrich. In heat is just a term we use. It does have something to do with temperature, actually, body temperature. But also, it was called being an estrich. Estrich. There's a female hormone called estrogen, isn't it? And so estrich, when animals were in estrich or in heat, certain times of year, they are going to have sex, and you can't stop them. I'm serious. We had a dog, pet, male. But around the time when the female wanted to have sex, you see, the female signaled that time for everyone. It must have been an odor in the air, a pheromone, they call it, pheromones. Humans have pheromones also. It was a hormonal time when I could not keep my dog in the yard. I couldn't keep him in the fence. He would dig his way out of that fence. If a female came around that was an estrich, he would hurt himself getting out of that fenced area that I kept him in to get to her. Seriously, during that time, sex is like tantamount to every animal that's of a species that is in that period of time where they're in estrich, where they're in musk, where they're in heat, where there is this desire for sex. Animals have it, and they do it, right? Now, it's interesting, because I said there's a time when this goes down among animals. But that until that time, another dog comes in my yard, male or female, it doesn't matter. My dog would try to tear him apart. If another dog came in my yard, male or female, my dog would raise hell. Because it was his property. You know, dogs are very territorial, if you don't know that. if you don't know that if you got an outside dog, we had outside dogs, no inside dogs. We had an outside dog. But if you don't know that a dog would go around and spray your yard, cats will do the same thing. What I mean by spray is they would urinate around your perimeter of your yard so that other dogs would know that they were stepping into somebody else's territory because they could smell it, obviously. Humans couldn't pick it up. And that's another thing humans don't understand. If you're a mailman or whatever, and you walk into an animal's yard, that animal has claimed that yard. And he don't understand why you don't smell his urine. He done sprayed that yard to make other animals know that they're in the wrong place. They're in his place or her place. But humans don't smell it. The human don't even know they spray their yards. And so human will walk right on past those barriers that they've set. And you wonder why the dog is trying to come after you when you come up in that yard. Because they're very territorial. After that period of time of mating, that mating period, let's call it mating. Sounds more. After that mating period passes, guys, male or female, that dog can't come in my yard. My dog won't allow it. But during that period, if a female walked in that yard and she was an estrich, he would fight. My dog would look at me funny if I got anywhere near that female, especially if he had already had sex with her. Until that period is over with, he wouldn't want me coming around when those two were together, let alone another dog. That's how serious it was. Now, after that period is over with, it goes back to the same old program. No dog could come in that yard. I've seen him rip a dog tech go after another dog that tried to come in the yard. And so female, male didn't make a difference. And I've seen females, and there are females who will not have sex. I don't care if a dog climbed on her back or not. She wouldn't have sex unless it was during that period of time. So it's interesting. Nature is interesting. And I know you think you're better than nature. But if you look at where we all came from in nature before we built houses and streets, where we all came from, then you will see that they have a time. There's a time and place. Well, no, they don't care about the place, I don't think. But there is certainly a time. And not only that, pregnancy is involved. Yeah. Babies are born. Your cat comes up with a bunch of little babies. If he's an outside cat, she's an outside cat. Your dog comes up with some puppies if you haven't got them spayed and neutered. Animals, cows, pigs, horses, grasshoppers, everything is climbing on top of each other during that period. And the result is always, most always, is babies. Now, if I asked in school about sex, or if I learned something about sex in school, it was through learning about the reproductive system and science. We're in college or classes like that, biology class. They talked about birth, reproduction, single cells reproduce, insects, animals reproduce. All right? And how they reproduce and all that. So they point out that you and me have a reproductive system built in, just like animals. I know you think you're better than they are, but just like animals, you have a reproductive system. You got a digestive system, you got a circulatory system, you got a respiratory system, and you have a reproduction system. And so I learned that reproduction system is set up for reproduction, for producing babies. But that's not what I was taught as a kid. My sexual education included sex, but it did not include babies. But somehow or another, that got separated for a while in my growing up. For as I know, all I needed was a girl who wanted it, and we could have sex. Not protected sex, none of that. Having a baby was the last thing on my mind. Having sex was the first thing on my mind. As a teenager, as a young man, having sex was paramount. Having babies, well, that's somewhere down the road. How did they get separated? In nature, they're not separated. In science, they're not separated. Your vagina and your penis are all part of your body's reproductive system as much as your lungs are part of your body's respiratory system, as much as your veins are part of your body's circulatory system, as much as your nerve is a part of your body's nervous system, as much as that. You see what I'm saying? It's built in to reproduce. And the way we reproduce is through sex, intercourse, sexual intercourse, just like animals, because we're one of them. I know you think you're better than they are, but we're one of them. And so our system, our respiratory reproduction system, all of those systems are built in. They're natural, in other words. Now, when you get to society, somehow or another, in all of my sexual education that I picked up, and I say I picked it up, guys, because like I said, nobody set me down and told me about the birds and the bees. No, no, no. So all of my sexual education was about getting some. Did I get some last night? Smashing, they call it. Did I smash last night? Nothing about babies. Man, I actually attribute some things to that education, i.e. having young men fresh out of, still in high school, men and women, still in high school, or just out of high school, some still in high school, having babies. Having babies before their babies. Literally, they ain't 20 years old. They're teenagers, and they're having babies. Why? Because they're having sex. They're using their reproductive system, and they're surprised when they reproduce. What happened? Didn't you know that sex was a part of your reproductive system, and that having sex is in nature is to reproduce? Then where did you get the idea that you could have all the sex in the world and not end up with a baby somewhere down the line? Did you think about that when you were chasing that girl? Did you think about that while y'all was sitting in the drive-in movie or in the back seat of a car or in your mama's house while everybody was going to work or over somebody else's house or at some party? Did you think about that? No, we didn't think about it. I'm telling you, we didn't think about babies. We thought about sex. We were too young to buy condoms, some of us, and we didn't know how to use them or what they were for because nobody else was using them at the time that we knew of. And women didn't ask if you had them. Nobody asked. And so now you're a teenager and you got kids to feed. Because nobody told you. Nobody educated. Nobody connected the two for you. Early on in life. In fact, if you tried to teach something about sex in school at a younger age, you might have a bunch of people protesting your school. I mean, I've gone to schools where they had a health kind of a health class, and they would have a poster, two posters, one of a man and one of a woman, naked posters, except they didn't have the sexual parts on these dummies or this male and woman figures that were in the classroom. They had those sexual organs covered or blotted out or non-existent. Because those, you weren't supposed to see those as a young kid. Even when they showed a naked body, a human body, in biology class, they made sure they covered the penis and the vaginas. Now, I don't know, guys, why. I don't know if it's, hey, when I went to church, when I looked in the Bible, when I saw some of the depictions of Adam and Eve, biblical texts of the Judeo-Christian religions, Adam and Eve were naked. They had to be because they were the first humans with no clothes, right? And so they were naked in the garden. But when you see depictions of Adam and Eve, they are naked, except for their sexual parts. Are covered, fig leaf. They got the fig leaves covering their sexual organs. So even as a kid, even in the religious arena, my sex education didn't include sex. Sexual organs were hidden from me. I wasn't supposed to know that about sexual organs. I wasn't supposed to see penises or vaginas in these pictures. Because you start teaching kids about sex, they say, oh, well, they're going to get sexual at a young age. Well, I got news for you. There's something called puberty. And whether you teach your kid about sex because you're afraid they're going to get sexual at a young age, I got news for you. Nature, their very biological makeup is going to make them sexual at a young age, as a matter of fact. It's called puberty. a young woman will start having a menstrual cycle. Then maybe somebody will sit down and talk to her about sex. Maybe. Just maybe. And I said just maybe because religion comes in again. Let me give you an example. I was talking to a sister lady one time, and she had a daughter. And she had a husband, but they were separated. And so the daughter would go spend time with the husband in another state, and then she'd come back home to mom. Well, while she was visiting her father away from her mother in this other state, visiting her estranged father, her father, she came on her period, her very first menstrual cycle, while she was out of town visiting her father. Before she got home to her mother, her father had told her all about her menstrual cycle. And this is what he told her, that the reason you're bleeding, the reason you're going through this, is because God is punishing you for eating that apple, that forbidden fruit in the garden. And he showed her in the Bible that says, from now on, you will do this, you will work by the sweat of your brow, and you will give birth in pain, and blah, 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 blah. And so she was sure that her period was a punishment from God. Lord, have mercy. Her first menstrual cycle, she was told to be ashamed of it because it was a result of a sin occurred in the Garden of Eden a billion years ago. That she has to suffer now because of that mistake, because of what Eve did in the garden. That was her introduction to her menstrual cycle. A punishment. Not natural. Not natural. It was a punishment. And sex was a sin. And so, she's going to live the rest of her life embarrassed about sex in her reproductive system. And she's going to spend the rest, if she's raised in the South, like I was, she's going to go to school and her sex education is mating. And even when she gets to high school or college, biology classes, things like that, even when they show her a statue, or not a statue, but like a dummy of a man and a woman, mannequin, they're going to remove the sexual organs from those figures. And so in your mind, and Adam and Eve had the fig leaf. So in your mind, in your subconscious, you're being told constantly through those symbols that something's wrong with that part of your body. There's something wrong with it, but something's wrong with it. Something's not good about it. There's some reason you got to hide it and not talk about it. Or are you breaking some rules or something? Are you doing something wrong? That was generally down here in the South. That was generally your introduction to nakedness and sexuality and sexual organs. They were not to be talked about. And whenever you depict this, you needed to depict the body. You did it by covering those sexual organs up, because those are sexual organs. How far we got from nature. So I got kids. I got buddies, and I got nieces and nephews, and they all got kids now, old enough to have, most of them are old enough to have kids now. And some of them had got pregnant at a very young age, fresh out of high school, in high school, single mothers, that kind of thing. I know. Yeah. And so every pregnancy, and I tried to remember one that wasn't, but I can't. I'm sorry. Maybe y'all can. But every pregnancy in my family circle, and not just in my family circle, in my friends' neighbor circle, were a surprise. Uh-oh, I'm pregnant. That kind of surprise. Uh-oh, I think I'm pregnant. Uh-oh. Every pregnancy was a uh-oh. Guys, I'm just saying, I don't remember anybody saying, we're trying to have a baby, or we plan on having a baby, anything like that. We want a child, and this is how we're going to get one, the old-fashioned way. And so the bassinet, the room set aside for the child, the what color of the room going to be and all that good shit, preparations and attempts at getting pregnant didn't exist in my family that I knew of anyway. When I heard Planned Parenthood, and I know some people don't like Planned Parenthood because of what it does, and I got that too, but when I heard the term Planned Parenthood, I thought it was a good thing. Just the term. I don't know about what they do there, but just the term sounded good to me because I'd never seen a Planned Parenthood among my friends and relatives. Every pregnancy was an uh-oh that I know of. You see, sex wasn't an uh-oh. Plenty of sex, but the but the nature, the natural result of our reproductive system, we could use the sexual part of our reproduction system, the natural result, baby, pregnancy didn't come into the picture. For some reason, mentally it is, it didn't come into the picture. Well, I know what that reason was. We were never taught in my community. The two were separated completely. And so as teenagers, we went out to have sex. And by the time we were in our 20s, most of my friends and girls and boys were pregnant or had babies to care for. And so, an entire industry had to be created. I imagine that's what it is today. Today, even naturally, we neuter our pets. You used to see a big dog walking down the street and he had balls. He had testicles. Not anymore. It's rare to see that anymore. Cats are neutered, spayed and neutered. And so we live in a spayed and neutered society. And prophylactics, rubbers, condoms, contraceptives. We learned about later on. And now, and even that was undercover. But nowadays, it's popular. Shit, I remember them giving out condoms back when there was an AIDS thing going on. They were just, you could get free condoms. They would pass them out on the street. Brand new. Of course, not used. But, I mean, you didn't have to buy them. They were free. We live in a new society. We live in a society where we know what's natural. We know that sex is a part of the reproduction system. But we know that if you have no intention of reproducing, but you still want to have sex, then you have to do something to keep from having babies. And teenagers that I grew up, guys that I grew up with, in women, was getting pregnant left and right. They were having sex, but they didn't plan on taking care of a baby at 18 or 19 or 20. Really? They still want to party. They hadn't got all, they hadn't seen the world. They hadn't left their hometown. They hadn't lived their lives. Now they got a job because they got to feed a baby now. And maybe two. Now they're getting married. Now, when I was a kid, they had something called a shotgun marriage. Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever heard of a shotgun marriage in the South? That's something called a shotgun marriage. That's when the father of the pregnant girl finds the boy who got her pregnant and take them both to church and get them married off to each other. You didn't have a choice. If you got her pregnant, you were going to give that woman you're going to give that baby a last name. That's what they used to say. You got to give that baby a last name. Now, the baby would have had a last name because he would have had the mother's last name, but that ain't the way it worked. In a patrilineal male-run society, you get his last name. And so it's almost like they talk like the baby is not going to have a last name. You got to give that baby a last name. Literally, guys, I don't know if this is strange to some of y'all, but where I came from, these were common terms. Shotgun marriages, give that baby a last name. And so you had people marrying each other who can't live together, who never lived together, who didn't even know what living together and sharing and all that good shit was even about. They was young. But they were made to marry. Oh, yeah, you got married. If you got her pregnant, you got married to her, period, end of story. Shotgun weddings, they call it. You were forced to get married. And so tonight, guys, I wanted to just try to contrast for you sex and nature and what it has in sex and society and how we're smarter than animals, you know. We think we're better. And so we want to have sex. We want to use our reproductive system. And if we have a baby, oftentimes it's, uh-oh, she's pregnant. What am I going to do? She messed around and got pregnant. Messed around and got pregnant. Words like that. You've heard those terms before. And I don't know, abortions become popular. Contraceptives have become popular, well-known. You know, it's a big thing. Like I said, they used to just give out condoms back in the 90s. Free. The day after pills, all those things is an industry built around sex without pregnancy. Let's see if we can beat nature at this game. Nature says, I'm going to get her pregnant, but I'm going to put a condom on, or she's going to take a birth control pill or get some shots or something or whatever they do. Now, they got stuff they put under your arm, under your skin and everything. All kinds of ways were created now and organized and sold so that you could have sex, whole industry, porn, so that you could have the sex without the baby. Cognizant dissonance. You have a reproductive system whose sole purpose is to reproduce, but you use those organs just for fun and intimacy, which is important. Intimacy is important. But you separate sex from pregnancy, babies. And you have young men in puberty and women in puberty, girls, with a sex drive, which is natural. But that sex drive is to make babies, not just to go sleep with a bunch of guys or sleep with a bunch of girls. It's to go get a baby made in nature. So when you get hit with that sex drive, puberty, as a young kid, then you finna go make babies. Except you're not. Mentally, you're just going to have sex. You're just going to smash. I mean, there's celebrities out there, guys. There's celebrities out there, got girls coming all over, you know, because they're a celebrity and they got money. They're rappers or whatever. They got girls always following them around, fans. And they can have sex all day long with different girls. But the next thing you know, they got a house full of children to feed. The next thing you know, they're working every day and they're to feed and care for kids if they stick around. And many of them are so young, they haven't been anywhere. They haven't seen anything. They haven't learned anything about life. But now they're raising a kid, a child, and they haven't even lived themselves. They're just about 10 years away from being a child themselves. If you're 20 years old, 10 years ago, you were 10. If you're 21, 10 years ago, you was 11 years old. You ain't seen nothing in this world. You have a chance of living till you're 70 or 75, I think is whatever. But you've only been on this earth. You've only been on this earth for 20 years, and 10 of those years, you were just a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old. And so, an industry develops in society because we need to separate ourselves from nature because we're better than nature, right? And we need to have sex. And in nature, you'd have a baby, but we don't want the baby. We just want this part of the reproductive system because we watched a lot of porn and nobody had babies on porn. There's a lot of screwing going on. Ain't nobody getting pregnant. So it's some kind of divide in the mind between the two, when in fact there is not. When in fact a good sexual education as a child would have told you that you stand a chance of raising a baby, of having a house full of kids, if you keep on doing what you're doing. So maybe you better be selective about this. Maybe you better not let your peers pressure you into having sex for fun and profit, having sex for shits and giggles, instead of having sex to have a child. And the rude awakening, nature kicks in. You can't fool Mother Nature. And then we got teenagers and children with children. Babies and sex have been separated. Your reproductive system is partialed out now. You can use your sexual organs, but not the whole thing. Not the womb, Not all that. No, just sex. And so tonight I want to do a thing here on sexuality, on sex and intimacy. I think I'm going to have to do a part two because we haven't got to the good. We haven't covered the whole story. But primarily, I learn a lot and understand a lot about society when I look at nature. Nature doesn't try to hide shit from me. And so if you're born on a farm or you've seen animals screwing, you know you've seen sex. They ain't going to try to hide. They ain't trying to find a place to hide to have sex or anything like that. They're not covering their sexual organs like we do. They're not making sex a taboo subject for young people who are bound to go into puberty if they not haven't already, and especially once they have. Now, you try to teach sex education in schools, you're lying to get your school shut down these days. And so an industry exists of sex with no pregnancy, porno, that's what porn is, and contraceptives, abortions, contraceptives, day after pills, all this stuff. Birth control pills, all that stuff. That whole industry exists to intervene in nature. This is a call-in show. I set half of the show aside for call-ins and for you to respond to these topics if you like. I keep my chat room open. That's for you. I got a phone number, area code 563-999-3531. My phone number is area code 563-999-3531. And I got some time. And so I'm going to use that time for you. I call it your time to shine. If you have questions, comments, concerns, I got my chat room open. Come on in here and put them in the chat. If you'd like to talk about it, there's my phone number. Call me. You'll go straight on to the line. Everybody will hear what you have to say, and everybody will hear my response. Tonight, we're talking about sex. And God, we haven't even covered half of it. So I might have to do a part two. Because we did sex tonight, and I just opposed it to sex and nature, which we are a part of, whether you believe that or not, whether you like to think that or not, and society, nature versus society, and their approach to sex. And so maybe in part two, we'll do sexuality, male-female sexuality, right? Maybe we'll talk about the difference even between masculinity and femininity versus man versus woman. They ain't the same thing. Maybe we'll do that in part two. And maybe we'll get into intimacy, the need for intimacy, the interest in intimacy that we all have, that many of us have, most of us have. It's natural. I always like to juxtapose. I always like to, you know, make a side-by-side with what goes on natural in the natural world, where they ain't trying to hide nothing, where they ain't trying to impress you or anything, or hide something from you, animals, plants, and then you, and then society, where you got a lot of shit to hide. A lot of people, they're impressed. and the like. And so I'll get to that, guys. Maybe we have to break this up into parts. So, because I want to give you guys a chance to come in. And so I'm going to open up my lines just on this nature versus society when it comes to sex. And my phone number is area code 563-999-3531. My chat room is open. I'll be monitoring that chat. And if you put a question or a comment or concern in that chat, I will respond to it in the chat or on the air if you like. It's your time to shine. I've done my piece. Let me give you a little music while you think about it. Speaking your mind.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 Central Standard Time, where we talk about the things that affect our lives every day, but we talk about them from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution has just changed. The night tonight, we've been talking about sex, guys. And I open my lines up so I can see what you guys have to say about that. The time we're in now is our call-in section, where I set aside a whole part of the show just for you, just for my listeners, and where I encourage everyone to speak their mind. I have my chat room open. My phone number is area code 563-999-3531. Call me, you go straight onto the air. And I'm going to have to break this down into more than one section, I'm sure. The shows are all archived here at Revolutionary Life. So if you're on my site and you scroll down, you will notice that there's an on-demand section. My on-demand section contains all of our previous presentations. And so if you weren't able to stay for this one, you missed this one and weren't able to stay for it or whatever, you can, in about an hour from now, this presentation will be on that on-demand section as well. So you can listen to it at your leisure. Also, I just wanted to remind everyone that if you're on my site, there's a follow button up at the top right of my site. If you click that follow button, you'll be notified when we're live. Across from that follow button is a share button. Anybody who you think might be interested in engaging in this conversation and the like, share it with them. Who knows? It might be interesting. Guys, we've been talking about sex tonight. Anybody out there know what I'm talking about? Everybody does. We're talking about sex tonight. And I'll just propose what I can observe as of sex in the natural world and what we do in society and how we separate sex from reproduction. That's porn. Lots and lots of sex, no pregnancy. And the whole industry that have evolved around ensuring that you can have lots and lots of sex without pregnancy. I told you a little bit about my history. I told you a little bit about how I learned about sex. Bathroom walls, down on the corner, magazines. Nobody sit me down told me all about the birds and the bees. I didn't get that conversation from my parents, preachers, and teachers. Or TV, for that matter. We need to talk about TV. We need to talk about the programming. Because I used to watch TV shows where husbands and wives went to their bedrooms. And when they got to the bedroom, there was two beds. You don't hear me. Husband and wife, happy married couple. Some of these shows, Mary Tyler Moore, what is that show called? Well, a couple of shows where it has a husband and wife. And when they went to bed and entered that bedroom were two beds. The woman got in one, the man got in another. Yeah. That was a regular TV series, and most of them that involved a man and a woman did not involve both of them being in the same bed together. They had two beds. Nice, loving family. But the man slept in one bed, the woman slept in another. Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore, I'm thinking of two actors who portrayed husband and wife in a regular series that came on every day back in the day, and they would go to bed at night in two separate beds. All right, guys, I got a little bit more time. I'm gonna give y'all a little music. Somebody might want to call in and talk about this. Somebody might want to put something in the chat with their concerns about it. I don't know, but this is your time to shine. So I'm going to give you a little music to do so. I'll be right back. Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank everybody who listened in tonight for listening in tonight. You know, we're here every weekday night, Monday through Friday. Today being Friday, guys, I won't see you until you won't hear from me until Monday. All right? And Monday night at 7 p.m., we'll be right here on Blog Talk. And we'll have another subject that affects our lives every day that we talk about from a revolutionary point of view. Tonight, we've been talking about sex. We didn't finish this conversation. I didn't even get to celibacy. Talk about a break from nature. Celibacy. We need to talk about that. You have a whole system in your body that you've decided not to employ. I mean, you got a respiratory system. You don't stop breathing. You got a circulatory system. You don't stop your blood from flowing. You got a reproductive system that you decide not to use. Yeah, you know we're better than nature, so we can make these kinds of decisions. And so I'm going to have to do a part two on sex. We ain't even touched the surface yet. I want to thank everybody who listened in for listening in tonight. And I'll see everybody Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm going to take us out of here. I'm going to give you a little music as we go out. And I want to wish everybody a good night and a good weekend. And I'll see everyone on Monday. Take care. Adios. Bye con Dios.